If you'd just like to turn with me over to Matthew 24, Matthew 24, in this news analysis section, because we will be having a tape from Mr. Armstrong this afternoon. But here in Matthew 24, it says over in, beginning in verse 29, it says, "Immediately after the tribulation in those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give a light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken." Now these are the heavenly signs, and notice it says immediately after the tribulation of those days. And there's a section here that then goes on, and it says in verse 32, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, then you know that summer is near. So likewise you, when you shall see all these things, know that it's near even at the doors." Now I remember talking to an individual, or listening to an individual at one time, who was an evangelist, apparently, in God's work. And at one time anyway, and he was saying that this in fact is referring to this particular verse, because it says in verse 32, it says, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree, so likewise when you shall see," in verse 33, "these things, know that it's near even at the doors." And he says, well, this is talking about these heavenly signs, and that's the only thing that therefore we're going to watch for. And in fact, it's a load of absolute and total nonsense, because when you look at the entirety of Matthew 24, it is focused on the time of just the period just before the tribulation, the period that we find ourselves in today. And we are commanded in this verse, or in these verses here, where it says, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know his summer's nigh." In other words, you're looking and you can actually see something. It's not just something that's in our hearts, it's something that you can actually see on the world scene or in the actual physical creation. "So likewise you, when you shall see these things, know that it's nearer even at the doors." And "these things" is not just referring to that section in verse 29, although it includes that, the heavenly signs, but the whole spread that we find here within Matthew 24, particularly where it talks about whoever reads Daniel, let him understand, in verse 15. And it also talks about the various horsemen of the apocalypse as the kind of introductory section, and one of those horsemen is the white horse and the religious confusion, and this started right from the very time shortly after Christ's death and has gone all the way through. So when we're looking at all the various parts in this, where you see that the gospel of the kingdom will preach to all of the world as a witness, and then the end will come, as Mr. Armstrong has brought out continually, that is the sign that this we have reached this particular time, and we are in that. We are past that time now. And now as we look at the news, you say, well, what can we actually see within the news? Well, what I've done is I've just taken news from this past week, and in looking at this area, these areas here, and the remember, when you're looking at this, you're not looking at just Matthew 24. It ties up with Luke 21. The abomination that makes desolate that's being mentioned here is clearly identified as armies surrounding Jerusalem. So we're looking at trouble and tension within the Middle East being a problem. You can tie it across also to Daniel itself, and you're looking at the Gentile kingdoms, where it says whoever reads Daniel or reads, let him understand, pointing us back to Daniel. So you see the Gentile kingdoms and the sequence of events. You can see the 10 nations rising in Europe as a sign. You can see the decline of Ephraim and Manasseh. And when you put these scriptures together, then certainly we do need to be looking and being aware of what's going on. One of the areas, looking at just this past week, we know that there is going to be a time of plagues and pestilence that will come on the earth, and it is going to be the greatest time of trouble that we will ever, or anybody has ever seen. Now part of that, you can see at the moment areas which in fact would indicate this. Here's one from today. This is an article that says a third of children are too fat. It says more than a third of all children are either overweight or obese, government figures showed yesterday. That's a third. That is a staggering number. A quarter of 11 to 15 year olds are classified as obese. That's double the proportion 10 years ago. It says, Professor Colin Wayne, the chairman of the National Obesity Forum, said that they revealed a public health time bomb. Children that are obese, aged 11 to 15, are twice as likely to die when they are 50. And he goes on, it says, this will have a significant impact on longevity, and we're in danger of raising a generation of people who have a shorter life expectancy than their parents. This is a public health time bomb as these children move into adult life. And not only is it a public health time bomb as these people, the children, move into adult life, but you're looking at children that really are not fit and are not able to withstand what in fact is coming on the world anyway. And we see what's happening on the world scene and what in fact is scheduled for Ephraim and Manasseh. And that certainly is going to have an enormous effect. So again, you can see how it talks about 9 out of every 10 people will die as a result within Ephraim, within Israel. And then when you go into the other areas, it talks about doubling to her double. It could well be that a significant number more die in other nations as well. Another one, this is from the 21st, it says, spare the chemical kosh. And something else we need to be aware of. It says the overprescribing of the drug Ritalin to children diagnosed with alleged behavioural problems is a growing scandal, a leading scientist said yesterday. Baroness Greenfield, a neuroscientist and president of the Royal Society, said that the overuse of the drug should be addressed as a matter of urgency. The problem with these drugs such as Ritalin is that they do not target a single trait such as the mood or concentration or wakefulness. Drugs will manipulate in a very broad spectrum way the chemicals in the brain that in turn could have both widespread and also long-lasting effects. So we're laying down things within our children which are going to again be it's just part and parcel of the signs of the end. It says the number of children being prescribed drugs for so-called behavioural disorders has soared, causing alarm that they are being unnecessarily drugged into submission. Prescriptions of this particular drug, most commonly known as Ritalin, rose to 359,000 in 2004, a rise of 344,500 since 1995. That's a 180-fold increase. It's gone up 180 times more that have actually been prescribed this. And the long-term effects, you wonder about. Another thing that's happening within our... And you know, you're looking at this, and then you're looking at the problems that will come on the world, and these children are now reaching adulthood, and they're going to be forming the adults. It talks about men's hearts failing them for fear, and of the things that are coming on the world, and they cannot cope with the things that will be there with a normal, without the crutch of the drugs that are there. Another problem that has been highlighted, again, just in this one area of plagues and pestilences and the kind of things within this last week, this is Alzheimer's fear grips poisoned water town. It says scientists called yesterday for additional testing of the residents of Camelford, a Cornish town affected by water pollution, after research identified a form of Alzheimer's in a woman who died prematurely 2 years ago. Now, they're linking it. It says in 1988, 20,000 people in Camelford and the surrounding area were affected when the water supply was polluted after 20 tons of aluminium sulfate was pumped into the wrong tank at the then South West Water Authority water treatment works at Lower Moor at the edge of Bodmin Moor. Residents were subjected to levels of aluminium around 500 to 3,000 times over the acceptable EU limits. And this has caused a real problem. The interesting thing is that Alzheimer's is a real major problem within our societies. It is a particular problem within our Western societies. And what do we cook in? We cook in aluminium. In many, many cases, we are cooking in aluminium, and we do need to be aware that it may well be that that is causing problems within our mental state of mind. So I'm not saying chuck out all your aluminium pans, but I'd say do be aware of it. Because you do wonder whether in fact that is something, it's relatively recent. It's only with the introduction of electricity that aluminium was possible to make aluminium. I think there was actually a tea service that Queen Victoria had, which was made with the most expensive metal that they had at the time, which was aluminium. It's an aluminium tea service that's in the Queen's household. Looking at famine and climate change also, because again you're looking at these horsemen, and we're looking here, the rains bring a flicker of hope, but hunger still stalks the land. This is about the area in Africa. It says, villages in drought-stricken East Africa prayed for months for rain to come. Now that it has, they're praying for it to stop. The heavy rains which have finally fallen on Kenya's parched northeast in recent days have brought fears of disease and cut off access for aid convoys to reach desperately hungry villages. Again, it's just part of the problem. And when we're looking at the climate change that is taking place, this kind of thing is going to increase. It has increased. I mean, the Katrina and the various hurricanes and things like that, plus the famine, the potential famines that are going to be witnessed in third world areas. Another one, a mass evacuation of the Danube thunders on. It says thousands of people across southern Europe were driven from their homes yesterday as the Danube, swollen to record levels by heavy rains and melting snow, thundered through the region. And as it moved at a record rate of half a million cubic feet a second, breaking through flood defences and submerging fields and homes. And it gives the problems that they're having there. So, again, this is all in this past week alone. And it's not a case of just looking for heavenly signs, it's looking at so many other areas as well. Another area that we need to be aware of is religion and ethics. We know that religion is going to play a major part within the world eventually. Part of this, it's interesting, I just clipped this out of today's paper. It says, Kenyans get a day off to pray for better times after the disasters. So within the problems in Kenya, Kenya's president, Mwai Kibaki, sends his citizens home for a one-off public holiday yesterday, urging them to pray to God, and then he goes on, Allah and ancestral spirits, for good fortune after a series of disasters in the country. These actions of the people and the government have obviously angered God, said Pastor, this particular pastor, Kiera, 52, of the Firefold Ministries in Kimende, 40 miles west of Nairobi. He's punishing us with drought and political uncertainty, and we must repent. Would you find that within the Ephraimite and the Israelite countries? I mean, this is a point that we don't find these kind of things within our countries. Another one that I thought was quite interesting, and this was from yesterday's paper, the Archbishop revives the baptism ceremony in a heated pool, and this we saw just literally a day or two ago on the television, and there's a picture of this Nigerian Archbishop. It says the Archbishop of York, Dr. John Sitamu, baptizes this particular individual, Emily Switek, 19, by total immersion in a specially erected inflatable pool with heated water outside the church. And he was interviewed on the television, and it was interesting that while he was doing this, he was interviewed afterwards. So here is somebody doing baptism by immersion. It's the first time we've ever seen it over here, I think. I can't, unless you go to some of these evangelical groups. But he's doing that, and he mentioned on television, he said, look, the Bible forms the basis of so much in this country. And this is somebody from Nigeria. This is a Gentile now coming in, converting the atheistic ideas that are over here. He said, the Bible forms so much of the basis of British society, and we need to basically get back to those concepts. He's absolutely dead right. Even when doing his baptism there, it was interesting that he failed about four times to get somebody completely underwater. So he just kept going. I think it was about the fifth time he finally got this person to keep his head down and go right under the water. Which again is right, and he had at least that modicum of understanding that it pictures a death and a rebirth. So there is, we see that. Now I know some of you over in America probably think, well, what's he going on about, you know, about such a thing, because they do practice it over there. Well, over here, I'm afraid we are very, very irreligious, and that kind of thing, the fact that he did this, made the headlines. Another one, creationism gathers strength at conference. This is today's. It says, creationists who argue that science supports the Bible's account of the origin of the world are holding their first major conference in Britain this weekend amid an increasingly acrimonious debate over the issue. Nearly 400 people, including a number of clerics, gathered at this Christian centre to hear about how God made the earth 6 days, about 6,000 years ago. See, this is the problem. They do not understand that between verses 1 and 2, there could be maybe, well, almost undoubtedly, millions of years. And this is something that makes it ridiculous when people look at the fossil record and they try and cram that all within a 6,000-year space. It does not fit. And you've got this on the one side and evolution on the other, and you know Satan is laughing up his sleeve because both it gives evolution the fuel, if you like, for people to believe it, because they can see that no, there is something there, that this earth is older than just 6,000 years, and yet they can't see that within scripture you do not have a 6,000 year period. You go 6,000 years back to Adam, but between verse 1 and 2, verse 1, when the heavens were created initially, that might have been millions and millions of years ago. In fact, it almost certainly was. At the same time, when you're looking at the religion and ethics, another one here, it says, why every child needs an Uncle Elton. And it goes on here about how every child should have a homosexual uncle. And it's trying to persuade the people that is the case and something is necessary. Another one here, no cover-up behind the gospel, says Williams. This is the Archbishop of Canterbury. It's interesting that, I'll just quote one part of it. It says, the Bible was not the authorised code of a society managed by priests and preachers for their private purposes, but a set of human words through which the call of God is still uniquely immediate to human beings today. He said that it had been written by people who, by writing what they did and believing what they did, were making themselves, in the world's terms, less powerful, not more. They were walking out into unwrapped territory, away from the safe place of political and religious influence. Now, did you all get that? Basically, when that is the alternative as far as religion is concerned, and people are looking at that, and they see that it doesn't make a lot of sense. It just doesn't make sense. There's nothing plain, there's nothing truthful. It's the same kind of clouded view that we get here from this particular individual I mentioned about Matthew 24. Another one, true happiness is more than feeling good. Pupils need to learn about morality, not positive psychology. Now, the reason for that is that the preceding day, there was an article about a top public school where pupils are going to be learning the art of fulfillment. And there's a compulsory lesson on how to be happy being offered at a top public school. Now, again, and an article there going against it. So we have this complete mishmash of ideas that are there, and yet there is not the only really credible voice is coming from a Gentile nation, and coming across to here and saying, look, this is the way of God. And they are bringing back to this country again what they themselves were taught at the time when Britain was in its ascendancy. And they recognise that the ascendancy of Britain was caused by the biblical principles, and they're telling us that now. They can see it, and yet we can't. We've thrown it all out. And for these reasons, we will go into slavery. The nation will not be there anymore. At the same time, we see another area, that's the beast and the power in Europe. I've given quite a few news analyses on the problems that we have of erosion of civil liberties, and it's interesting that they say, oh well, we would never go ahead and take these powers in an unauthorised way. In other words, we would never do anything nasty like that. We'd be responsible about using these powers only against nasty people, or whatever their phrasing is. The interesting thing is that at the same time is that the BNP, that's the British National Party, it is the far right party, has in fact set, it says here, 1 in 5 would consider voting BNP. Now 1 in 5 is quite a number, quite a number. And if they, and the way they're presenting themselves today, as it says here, there's a letter which I think is tongue-in-cheek. It says, a few policies plucked at random include restoring British sovereignty by leaving the EU, halting immigration and funding voluntary repatriation, restoring grammar schools, competitive sports, corporal and capital punishment, with prison sentences to be served in full. And you know, you read, so, and this was actually, I think it's tongue in cheek, but it's not quite, you're not quite sure whether it was, because it gives the impression that they're against it. They're against the things that have just been mentioned. And yet, you're looking through the list, you see, well, yes, and what's wrong with that? And again, the BNP is saying, look, we've got to go back to the British values and go back to a Christian ethic. And they're standing up in that area, that you also have a Gentile archbishop standing up in the same area. And yet the rank and file within the country do not feel that way. At the same time, Europe itself is something is going to have to happen within Europe to bring what we're looking at into being. There's another article here from the Daily Mail on Wednesday. It says, a slow death of old Europe, and what a travesty that Britain is now being hit by the cirrhosis crippling France, Germany and Italy. So they are talking about Europe being sick in many ways and collapsing before our eyes in France and all the strikes and so on. Another one about the Vatican. It says the Vatican liberals backs condoms to fight AIDS. The cardinal, who was defeated in the race for the papacy last year, has challenged the Vatican by issuing a powerful statement of liberal views backing the use of condoms, accepting abortion in extreme cases. So there is conflict there. There is turmoil even in Europe as well. And when we're looking at that area. At the same time, you look at the Middle East and you see again turmoil, because again, the Middle East is a very important area. It talks, let me just read a little bit from this particular editorial from today's paper. It says, that Iraq is in a state of civil war is unarguable, and it's been for a lot longer than last August. Its capital city is uncrossable. It has no government. And it goes on to describe, it says, on Monday, a street battle lasting several hours took place at Adimaya, which is a wealthy residential sunny district of Baghdad. The capital's Kensington would be the kind of analogy. And it goes on about how the police were fighting with the army, and there were all these uniformed people as well within this melee. And it says, who was attacking whom? Who was not protecting whom? The Washington Post had a terrible time working out the battle of Adimaya. Some residents, whose accounts could not be verified, said the Iraqi army came to the aid of Adimaya residents, fought off a coalition of Interior Ministry police, Shiite militiamen, and Iranians, a term many Sunni Iraqis use to refer to Shiites, to whom aid was the Americans were coming. An officer told the Post, frankly, if somebody attacks coalition forces or Iraqi army forces, it doesn't matter who they are. It sounds like a civil war to me, all right. And it goes on to describe that. At the same time, just a few days before, it was saying Iraq's civil war could spread, say the Saudis. Saudi Arabia issued a stark warning yesterday that Iraq was on the grip of civil war, which threatened to suck in the neighbouring countries. So again, we see these things occurring at the moment in the Middle Eastern area. It is going to ultimately, prophetically, have the influence in Jerusalem. And again, these are areas, there's a fig tree, we need to be watching. And finally, if I can just go into one other section, as far as the trigger. What is the trigger that's going to cause these things to occur? Certainly terrorism is one area that we need to be aware of and need to be watching. There's an article in today's paper. It says, Islamic radicals are infiltrating the Paris airport. Muslim extremists have infiltrated baggage handling firms at Charles de Gaulle Airport in Paris, according to fringe presidential candidate Philippe de Villiers, a maverick right-winger who fiercely opposes the Islamization of France. And it goes in and he's blowing the horn and saying that there are real problems there. At the same time, we find that in Nigeria, an oil in near Port Harcourt, it was actually in a police station, there's a bomb blast that killed two within the police station, in an army barracks there, and it's going, there's another one, another three articles here. First off is Iran fears drive oil prices to the fresh high. It says, oil has been driven to a fresh highs while other commodity prices have hit a 20-year record as dealers worry about the deteriorating political situation between the US and Iran. Markets are fretting that Washington may be sanctioning bombing raids against Iran's nuclear power stations. And it goes on to Brent crude, that's in the business section. It says here, another one, economic growth fears after oil hits $72 a barrel. Oil has surged to a fresh record of more than $72 a barrel on fears of a nuclear showdown with Iran and escalating civil wars in Africa, raising the risk of an inflationary shock to the world economy. And again, remember, this is all within this last week. Another one, this is from yesterday, petrol prices hit a new high as they soar towards a pound a litre. Petrol prices have reached a record high and will hit £1 a litre within weeks, motoring experts said yesterday. The average cost of a litre has risen sharply during the past 3 weeks, from 90.5 pence to 95, the equivalent of £4.32 a gallon, according to the price comparison website, petrolprices.com. A £4.32 a gallon, it's over $7 a gallon for all of you in America, and that's $7 a gallon. These are the prices that we are paying at the pump at the moment. But that is in this past week. That's in this past week. I've really roared through it to try and give you just a flavour of what is actually there within the newspapers in 1 week. And if we look at something like Matthew 24, and we start to read things such as verse 32, where it says, learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is tender and puts forth his leaves, you know that summer is near. So likewise, you, when you see all these things, know that it's near even at the doors. And if you try and put people to sleep by pointing them purely to the heavenly signs, which has been done and is currently being done, I hasten to add, by certain people, then the blood of those people will be on our hands. And it's very important that we do keep an eye on what in fact is going on in the world scene, and we do watch, and we do just keep in mind, because this is something that God has commanded us to do.